I'm going to give us a little bit of an intro to this morning because this morning is going to be a little weird. We're going to have three readings, but you'll notice that I'm standing down on the floor, and that's because those readings won't be straight from Scripture. However, over the last 2 weeks, we have, 2 weeks ago, we covered the Sermon on the Mount, and every day you were invited to read the Sermon on the Mount, either by yourself or with others. And then last week, we heard James together, and every day you have been reading James. And so you should recognize in what we'll read both the Sermon on the Mount and James. But what we're going to read today is excerpts from a text that usually goes by its Greek name, the Didache. So repeat after me, say the Didache.
The Didache.
Yeah, that's about right. The Didache is, according to most scholars, probably the earliest Christian text post-Bible. And I say post, and that's not totally accurate because most think it was written before even like Revelation and some of the last books were written. And here is what it is, right? If the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus with his disciples, and James was Jesus's disciples then taking the Sermon on the Mount and taking it to other Jewish communities around the world, then the Didache was this second generation of Christians orienting the first Gentiles to the faith. And it basically was a training manual for people who were following Jesus. So today, at the end of service, I have a copy of this for you, and we'll give it out. We'll make sure everybody has it. And just like we read the Sermon on the Mount 2 weeks ago every day, and James this last week every day, I'm going to invite you to just read it daily. And you should read it with others, because there are going to be some parts that you're going to go, what? That's weird. And I want you to talk about it, and it's good. And I'll explain more as we go along, but I just wanted you to have a sense. We're going to have three readings, and then and Pastor David will be doing something unique with us between those readings. But may our hearts be open to what God might do this morning. So here is our first reading, and you can follow along. It'll be up on the screen. There are two ways. One is the way of life. The other is the way of death. And there is a mighty difference between these two ways. The way of life is this. First, you shall love God who created you. Second, your neighbor as yourself. All those things which you do not want to be done to you, you should not do to others. The training about these words is this. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who are your enemies. This should sound familiar, right? Here's where it gets different. Do fasts for those who persecute you. What benefit is it if you love those who love you? Do not even the Gentiles do that. Rather, you must love those who hate you. And so you are not to treat the other person as your enemy. Abstain from carnal desires. If someone strikes your left cheek, then turn the right cheek towards him also, and you will be perfect. If someone makes you go 1 mile, then go the extra mile with him. If someone takes your coat, then let him have your jacket. If someone takes your property, then you are not allowed to ask for it back. Give to everyone who asks help from you, and do not seek a return, because the Father wants his generosity to be shared with everyone. Blessed is anyone that gives according to this command, for that person goes without punishment. But watch out for those who received these things. If they receive things from need, then there is no punishment. But if they receive these things without need, then they shall have to explain why they acted in that way, and they shall be questioned about it when in prison, and they will not be released until the last penny is repaid. But remember, it has been said that you should let your gift sweat in your hands until you know to whom to give it. So, 2 weeks ago, I asked you to consider my friend Ashley, the fitness instructor, putting you through a rigorous training program, right? Training you in the spiritual life. We looked at the connection the Bible draws between athletic development, physical fitness, and the work that's involved in our spiritual growth. And we looked at the Sermon on the Mount as a workout plan, a set of, you know, daily exercises designed to perfect love in us. Then last week, I offered a different image. We considered a drill sergeant. Drilling an entirely new set of habits and attitudes and instincts into us as boot camp initiates us into a new community, a new way of life. We considered drill sergeants who train people in war and drill sergeants who train people in peacemaking. And we looked at James as our drill sergeant into the way of Jesus, drilling us daily with the habits and the attitudes and the instincts to make us perfect. This morning, I want to do something different. I want us to consider a different kind of image. And I know, because I know for myself, right, when I consider a fitness instructor yelling in my face to dig deep and to try harder, I don't usually feel this kind of encouragement as grace or kindness. Even if it is, I rarely feel that in the moment. And I would say the same regarding the image of a drill sergeant, right? Someone who is in your face barking orders at you, trying to get you to do what you think is impossible. Right? Both a fitness instructor and a drill sergeant are training you in a kind of perfection, but both can feel harsh or cold or distant. We don't usually think of either as an expert in grace or love. And so here is another image for us to consider this morning. A conductor with a choir. A conductor is every bit as obsessed with your perfection, right? If you sing a wrong note, if you sing out of tune, if you come in a beat early or a beat late, or if you just try to do your own thing, right? You potentially ruin the thing that everybody else is trying to create. And so a good conductor will stop everything and correct you again and again until choir does it right. Maybe you've already noticed the connection and realized that a whole part of worship this morning was Pastor David conducting us as his choir. Because we don't want you to just think about a conductor and what a conductor does, right? But actually want you to experience being conducted by one, even if just in a simple way and with a simple song. But I want to actually just pause here for a second, because I want to give you a moment to just think about this image for yourself. As you think about the Didache, what we've read this morning, being our choir conductor, like, what do you like about this image? Like, what resonates with you about this image of a conductor, and what does it communicate to you? So I just want to give you a second to kind of consider that. If you're taking notes, you might write something down. How do you connect with this image of a choir conductor? So I want to share a few observations. I've got three I want to share, and we will then come to the table and receive communion together. And then I'll get back up and I'll share one final observation. So just to manage your expectations, when I get it back up and start speaking again, you're not like, oh, this is still going. So it will keep going. But first, What does a conductor do? A conductor takes a bunch of different people with different voices and backgrounds and turns them into a community singing the same song. You can see this all throughout the Didache, everywhere. It focuses on how we ought to treat one another. Right? And these aren't just arbitrary rules that if you follow them, you're a good person, and if you don't follow them, you're a bad person. How we treat each other matters if we expect to live together. And even more, if we expect to create something beautiful together, how we treat one another really matters. A conductor can't work with single singers who are haughty and proud and cannot take correction. A conductor will be severely limited in what he or she can accomplish if her singers hate each other, are bitter or jealous of each other, or are plotting against each other. The Didache tells us to not hold grudges, to not create factions, to each do our own hard work, and to admit publicly when we've wronged each other or the community. A conductor with a choir helps us see how these kinds of rules aren't arbitrary and they aren't legalistic, right? They are necessary group norms for a community to live well together and to create something beautiful with each other. Second observation about conductors. And this one should help you sort of understand why we're using the Didache this morning. A conductor is leading an interpretation of a piece of music. So almost every conductor who stands up in front of a choir to sing a song, they are leading a song that they did not write or compose. So a conductor starts with a score, right? That has a time signature and it has notes and has various markings to guide the performance. But to take the notes that are on a page and to put them into performance requires interpretation. The very same way that reading the words of our Bible and living them out requires interpretation. So what if a piece was designed around a certain kind of singer that your choir just doesn't have? You have to work around that. What if you're taking an old piece with an outdated style and you're giving it a contemporary flair? What if you just sped it up or slowed it down, right? This is all work that a conductor does. And this is exactly what the Didache is doing for the early church. Followers of Jesus who have heard and learned the Sermon on the Mount and James are now trying to interpret and apply these core teachings in new times and new places. This is the exact thing that we are called to do when we read the Sermon on the Mount, when we read James. The Bible calls this work wisdom. We are to wisely apply ancient texts and teaching to our contemporary lives and contemporary world. And the Didache trains us in wisdom as it shows us how the very first churches were receiving and living the Sermon on the Mount and James. And so our job isn't to take this text, the Didache, and to just attempt to imitate it line by line. Our job is to do what the Didache is doing by taking Jesus' instructions and praying for wisdom and listening to the Holy Spirit as we begin to live it here and now. And so I just want to highlight a couple of examples of how this is working in the Didache. Jesus tells us, and we recognize this having read the Sermon on the Mount and James, that we are to bless those who curse us and pray for our enemies. The Didache expands. I highlighted this as I was reading it, saying, do fasts for those who persecute you. How many of us have ever thought of fasting in this way, right? We tend to think of fasting in sort of self-centered terms. We see it as a way to grow personally. Maybe we see it as a weight loss strategy. But these early followers of Jesus saw fasting, right? They saw going without food. They saw denying themselves for someone who had attacked them as a practical way to love their neighbor. Or how about this? The Didache repeats Jesus's teaching on going the extra mile or giving your coat to someone who asks you. And apparently, followers of Jesus were actually doing this, right? They were giving their stuff away when they were being asked for it. But then they had figured out a loophole. Get this, after giving their stuff away, they were apparently asking for it back. Thinking, I obeyed Jesus, I gave it away. And then coming around saying, can I get it? So the Didache says, no, that's not how this works. If someone takes your property, then you are not allowed to ask for it back. It's a fascinating elaboration specific to what they were seeing in their community. This then is actually one of my favorites. Jesus commanded his disciples, you should recognize this, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. Great. Straightforward, right? So how does that work itself out? The Didache says, you are to baptize in this way. Like, it sounds like we are about to get some specific set of instructions. The Didache goes on. Once you have gone back over all that is in the two ways, in other words, once you have trained someone in all of the things that Jesus has taught, you baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in living water, which refers to a moving water, like a river. But notice, however, if you do not have access to living water, then baptize in some other water. And if you do not have any cold water, then you can use warm water. And if you cannot get access to either, then pour water 3 times on the head in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, baptize in this way, but if you can't, then do it anyway. This is so wise, right? Jesus said, teach new disciples to obey everything I've done, everything I've taught, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It would have been easy, and Christians have done this, to look at Jesus and notice that he was baptized in living water in a river and say, well, I have to be baptized in a river if Jesus was, or to look at the way that most people were baptized in the New Testament and go, they were baptized in these ways, we should as well. But the Didache is very clear on what Jesus actually commanded, emphasizing only that, and then wisely offering freedom and flexibility around everything else. This is what we call wisdom, applying old texts, God's commands in earlier days, in new times and new places. Let me give you one last example. When we read in Hebrews, the author saying, do not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We unwisely apply this to Sunday mornings, acting as though Sunday morning gathering is what Hebrews is referring to. But let's notice what the earliest churches thought. See, they saw Jesus and his disciples traveling together every day for years, and they see the disciples still struggling to figure it all out, even after 3 years of being with Jesus every day. And so the early church gets it. They understand that if they are actually going to learn to reject the way of death, the way that is our like habit and our instinct, and we are going to learn a new way of life, the way of life, then this is going to require daily work, daily effort together with the people who share the Holy Spirit. And so the Didache says this, every day you should seek out the company of the saints so that you can be helped by their conversation. And in case you think that saints are super Christians, saints is the same word that Paul uses for all Christians. The conductor makes it clear to his choir that this new song the church is singing, it cannot be learned one day a week. It required daily choir practices, and they wisely understood this. Which brings me to my last observation, third and final one. Actually, third until the final one later that I told you about. Don't forget about that one, or you'll be disappointed later. After this, I actually have a video for us to watch. A conductor is not simply leading a song, but is teaching an entire set of practices, skills, and attitudes that enable the choir to sing any song set before them. A conductor will teach their singers when to breathe and how to breathe, which seems silly, right? Because anybody singing probably breathes on a regular basis, but the conductor understands that singing requires a different kind of breathing. The Didache tells us to abstain from carnal desires, the desires of the body. We desire already, but the Didache understands that we need to learn to desire in new ways. We need our desires retrained for the way of Jesus, that our desires untrained will lead to death. A conductor will teach singers scale exercises, right? And the singers will practice these scales over and over and over and over and over and over, right? Until they know them backwards and forwards, and they can learn to recognize every note wherever it falls. The Didache wants us to practice telling the truth over and over and over and over again until that's just our instinct. And the same goes for giving away our stuff and for praying in particular ways. The Didache actually encourages early Christians to pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day because, like scale work for a singer, this prayer, it needs to get into people and it needs to inform all of our praying. And the only way it does it is by praying it again and again. I want to stop here, and I just want us to experience a great choir and a great conductor. As we watch the video I have for us, I want you to imagine the Didache training us to live the way that this choir sings. Can you just imagine that? Living in the way that this choir sings. Notice how the conductor brings individuals together. Notice how the choir performs an interpretation of an existing song. And notice how the practices, skills, and attitudes the conductor gave to this choir. Let's experience together.
BYC.
Okay, Mr. White, tell us all about you and what happened during the show, after the show, please.
Well, of course, we're the Detroit Youth Choir, and we were here season 14 of AGT. We came in second place. Second place.
Before AGT, we were just a local community choir in Detroit for 20 plus years.
Let's go!
We can take that little bit of talent and pour some water on it and grow it. Be proud of what you represent.
A lot of kids within our choir have bad home situations, but being within the choir, it's like it almost took all of our problems away.
We take those young people that's rough around the edges and kind of show them what they are, these diamonds.
All it takes is one person to believe.
Before I joined BYC, I felt like I wasn't enough. And I feel like being in this family has really taught me self-love. I felt like I was a part of something greater than me.
And that's what it turned into.
When we kept going to the next round, it was just like, you know, we have a real, real shot of winning.
The winner is Cody Lee!
It was so close.
It was close.
We never thought we would go that far.
When we came home, our choir received $1 million.
Youth of Detroit, thank you for what you have done.
An endowment from local companies and from the city. We went on the Kelly Clarkson show, and we've opened for Megan Thee Stallion.
It was like, wow.
Coming back to AGT All-Stars, these kids know how close they were to winning it the first time.
It's very rare to get a second chance at anything.
Y'all know the pressure is real high, but we're gonna overcome that.
The competition is like huge.
The acts that I've seen so far here are already great.
This time, let's get this championship.
Jane goes, it's so hard to sing and dance at the same time. No doubt, right? Just like a conductor, the Didache was training the early church to sing together with their lives. The Didache, it teaches practices and skills and attitudes that would help the early church live well, live compelling and beautiful lives together to create something that was visually captivating. One of these practices was the Eucharist. The Eucharist is a Greek word just meaning thanksgiving. Other traditions call it communion, Lord's Supper. Central to the church's life together was and continues to be a gathering where the church gives thanks to God for all that God has done and for all that God has done for us and for the world through Jesus. And this meal, it centers around the bread and the cup, and it's a reminder that before we have done anything, right? Before we've received the teaching of Jesus, before we were baptized, before we ever tried to pray or fast or love our neighbors, before any of it, Christ died for us. We were sinners. And yet he gave himself up for us because of his great love for us. He set us free from the kingdom of death and darkness. And he has brought us into the kingdom of light before we ever even said yes. And it's only as free and redeemed citizens of this new kingdom that we then can choose the way of life that the Didache sets before us. And so to come to the table again, we do so to be reminded that none of this has been accomplished through our own effort. Our efforts are only a response to grace. In fact, our efforts are empowered by grace because we've been given the Holy Spirit. It's by grace, it's by his mercy, it's by his sacrifice that we are invited to the table and we are invited into this new life. Our team's gonna come forward. And they're gonna lead us in a song of response. And as they do, I'm just gonna invite you to come and to receive the bread and the cup and to return to your seats. And may you receive the bread and the cup this morning as a Eucharist, as a thanksgiving for what has been done for you and for all of creation through Jesus Christ. Amen. Which brings me to my final observation about a conductor. A conductor is forming a community that is producing beauty. And that beauty demands a response. And so I want to do two things. I want you to consider the life of the early church that submitted its life to letting the Didache shape who they were. We know from history books that the church in the earliest centuries, the church that followed the Didache, that allowed the Didache to orient their lives and to give shape to how they grew in Christ, that this community, this church, grew faster than at any time in the history of the church, that there was something about the character of this church, the beauty of this church that demanded a response. People could see the church living out its faith in Jesus in radically compelling ways, and it demanded a response. And there's a second part of the video that we just watched, and I want you to meditate. I want you to watch this video, consider the way that people respond to beauty and to joy and to the response it draws out of them. And then I want you to consider the ways that people respond when they see Jesus lived out in the body of Christ. And so let this be a meditation for us in these final moments, okay? Together, watch together.
Actually speechless.
Yes!
I mean, seriously speechless. This was just magic. Absolute creative magic. It's one of the best things. I'm actually quite emotional.
That radiated more than just music and song and dance. It was emotion and passion. It was exciting. It was thrilling. And exactly what AGT All-Star needs to be. This is the competition of champions. And that was a championship performance. It really was.
Well, you know, some choirs can be a little on the snoozy side, but not you guys. Not you guys! Oh, no. I mean, you just mashed that song up, like, and you just spat out a whole new thing, which was incredible.
I tell you what,
We all need a Mr. White in our lives.
Yes!
Yo, 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 stop! Superfan vote on this one! Mr. White! You have changed the lives of thousands of young men and women all over for what you have done for the city of Detroit. For what you have done in this world, one golden buzzer is not enough!
They could improve, they did even better than that.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
That was special. One of the best I've ever seen.
Could you imagine a community of people being drawn together around a way of life that lives so beautifully that people find themselves speechless to articulate what they've just seen? That people know that they've just seen beauty. They've seen something beyond earthly ability. They've caught a glimpse of heaven. And they're trying to figure out how to respond. I love in the end the way that the conductor is named as being the force who brings this group together. This is what Jesus is doing for us. He is our great conductor. May he be named for what he is doing in our communities and in the world, because when people see our lives together, they see him. That's prayer. That's the hope. That's what we're here for. That's what he's doing. May it be so.